Gospel of John, chapter 15. And as you're turning, don't forget our evening service. I'm already getting excited about our evening service. And the crowd in the prayer room was up last Sunday. I want to encourage everyone to come early, 5:30, and pray in the prayer room. And let's believe the Lord to move in a marked way this evening. I believe it's getting close to a year since we began the series in the Gospel of John, Jesus and John. We finished a series in my Sunday school class, and I asked them if anyone had note of when we started it. I was thinking it was 1 or 2 years, and it was in, was it 2014, 2015? So I hope that's not true with the Gospel of John, but there's a lot about Jesus in John. Amen? A lot about Jesus in John. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, Jesus' words, he says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world," here's the message this morning, "therefore the world hateth you." I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, "The world hateth you." And the verses we're going to look at today, verses 18 through 27, the word hate is used 6 times from the mouth of Christ. 6 times Jesus used the word hate. And you know what hate is. You have an idea of that. It's intense emotional aversion and dislike and disgust towards something. I want to preach this morning. Here's the title, what Jesus said. The world hates you. How many believers do we have here this morning? Let me see. I'm going to tell you something. This may not be inflating, but the world hates you. Jesus said it. I want to add to that, however much the world courts you, and the world will. However much the world courts you, it hates you. I wouldn't flatter myself that you would remember, but some years ago I preached a message, "This world is not your friend." That's a cardinal mistake too many folks have made, that the world is a friend. The world's not a friend, it's an enemy. Father, help us today, Lord, as we approach your word. Help us to hear from heaven. God, you're getting a group of people ready for your return. Lord, you're preparing us. You're speaking to us. You're shaping us. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would make your word poignant to us and address every need in the way only you can, Lord, from one message, one sermon, and you address and meet a multiplicity of needs. And we pray that you'd do that in this congregation this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And God's people said, amen. You can be seated. After church Wednesday night, I was having a conversation with one of our brothers. In fact, it was John Hillen, and we were talking about our website and things we're doing on it. And I made the statement, because I believe it, I said, we could very soon come to a time when there is entries in our sermon archive online that will be flagged, certain messages will be flagged as hate speech. And I liked his response. He said, that's why we have to hurry to get the message out, because it is coming. What Christians believe will increasingly be flagged and marked and described as hate speech. We hear a lot about hatred. Listen to the news. You'll hear a lot about hatred in our society. Political, especially in the political arena. You hear about hatred against Muslims and hatred against minorities and hatred against females and hatred against transgenders and hatred against homosexuality. And I want to emphatically insert here, such hatred is not Christian and it's not right. We should never hate whom God loves. I didn't say what, I said whom God loves. Amen. The behavior can be despicable and hateful, but we while hating the sin, As God, we love the people. That was a parenthetical, necessary insertion. But all this hatred, Muslims, minority, females, transgenders, and homosexuality. But could I tell you that the greatest hatred in our society is the hatred for the true Christian, the true follower of Jesus Christ. Do you realize it's been that way since day one? Since the first Christian, the greatest hatred in a society has been against the true Christian. You know, just last year in November, there was that massacre of Christians in Texas. Just last year. And one Christian commentary noticed things that people began to comment on his side. Here's what he said. The amount of anti-Christian hate on Twitter the same day Christians were massacred is stunning and chilling. He came to the conclusion, he said, they mocked anyone that talked about praying for the victims and their families. They mocked prayer. They mocked belief in God. They mocked being a Christian. I want to tell you, church, there is a militant secularism in America that hates true Christianity. If you don't believe that, I would suggest to you a simple experiment. If you have some type of access to social media that's in the public eye, not just your immediate Christian friends, but it's in the public eye, go on that media and make a statement that you believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Make a statement that you believe that adultery and premarital and homosexuality is sin, and wait for the comments. You just wait. Do that experiment. There will be a vitriol that will come back to you. Amen. One Christian commentator on his site, he was just stating things about Christ. And here's a picture someone posted to his site. It's a playoff Chick-fil-A, and that's not a plug for where you have lunch today. But look at the audacity here. Instead of cows, it's lions. A direct reference to the Colosseum when they used to feed Christians to the lions. And instead of eat more chicken, it's eat more Christians. This is the mentality of the secularism of our society. Amen. The popular new atheism that's sweeping our universities is not simply about not believing in God. Amen. It's about hating absolute truth, and in particular hating the absolute truth of Christianity. And so, yes, it's unacceptable to have a hatred of bigotry and a hatred that's racist and a hatred that's misogynist, but the greatest hatred is the hatred of the truth of Jesus Christ. Hey, have you noticed something? For all the terrorism of Islam, people don't hate Muhammad. Think of that. But all the goodness of Christianity, and they hate Christ. They hate Jesus. Amen. Please don't point out to me the KKK and the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists as examples of why Christians are hated, because none of those are true Christians. I'm talking about the blood-bought, the born-again, those that believe the Scripture, those that believe that salvation is in Christ. Amen. The greatest hatred in our world is for Jesus and his followers. Now listen, this is not on my word. This is on Christ's word. And we're going to look at the text today. But the first thing that Jesus does is he makes clear that this hatred is real. It's real. You see, in our context, Jesus has just made clear his love for his disciples. He said, I have loved you as the Father hath loved me. But he went from making his love real to the disciples to making a statement very clearly that the world would hate them. He said, I love you, but the world will hate you. Can I tell you, you cannot have Jesus' love without having the world's hatred. That's what Jesus said. You cannot have Jesus' love without having the world's hatred. But I tell you, if I got a choice, I'd rather have the world's hatred and Jesus' love than to have the world's love and the disapproval of my God and Savior. It's real. Amen. Verse 18. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. In the verses just prior to this, please hear me, Union Road body. Amen. Just prior to this, Jesus had been in. He says, you disciples need to love one another. He's very clear. He said, you need to love one another. It's my Father has loved me. You need to love one another. And then he goes from telling the disciples to love one another to the emphasis that the world hates him. Why did Jesus say we need to love one another? Among all the other reasons, he says we need to love each other because the world is going to hate us. I want to tell you something. Out there in the world, you go to work, you go to public school, you go here and there, you're going to encounter hatred from this world. But when you walk through those doors, you should encounter nothing but love from God's people, from God's saints, from brothers and sisters. Even if you're dishing out something other than love to your brother and sister, you've just joined the world. Jesus said, because of the hatred out there, there needs to be nothing but love inside God's house among his disciples. Amen. Amen. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for the persecution they will face when he leaves. And all through these chapters, we have chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. Five chapters that Jesus does not speak to the public, but he's speaking privately to his disciples. He's preparing them for when he leaves. Even that is the purpose of this discourse that we've been looking at. And one of the things he's preparing them for is to be prepared that the world would hate them. Amen. That was almost immediately fulfilled. Jesus ascended and they beat Peter and John. They beheaded James. They put Peter in prison. Amen. And they stoned Stephen. You talk about hatred. The scripture said simply because Stephen preached Jesus, they gnashed on him with their teeth. Amen. They stoned Paul. They later beheaded other Christians and threw them into the Colosseums. Why? Why that kind of persecution? They couldn't stand Christianity. The persecution became so great in Judea that the Christians, the first century Christians, had to leave their homes and be scattered across the world, which, by the way, God even used that for his glory, because when they had to leave home because of persecution, the Bible said they went everywhere preaching Jesus the Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just saying the hatred was immediately there. Why? Because first of all, they worshiped but one God. Amen. In a world that worshiped many gods, these Christians worshiped one God and said that Jesus was the only way. Amen. They would not bow to Caesar as another God, another Lord. They said there's only one Lord, and that's Jesus. Let me tell you, it's going to be that way today. If you make Jesus the one Lord of your life, they'll hate you. But I'm here to say this morning, our Lord is not pleasure. Our Lord is not drink. Our Lord is not alcohol. Our Lord is not humanity. Our Lord is not government. Our Lord is Jesus Christ. They hated them for that. Amen. They hated the Christians because they blamed them for a bad economy. Why? Because when Christ was preached and people got saved, they quit going to the divination places. They quit going to the soothsayers. Amen. They quit worshiping idols. You can read all this, and I'm telling you, in the book of Acts, the idol worshipers lost money. And because of the bad economy, they blamed the Christians. They hated them. I could go on and on with reasons. They hated the Christians from the beginning. But can I tell you, the biggest reason was because of the moral difference in Christians' lives. When people became Christians. Their lives changed. They no longer lived immorally. They no longer fornicated, were involved in adultery and the awful debauchery sins of this world. Why did that make the world hate Christians? Because the way Christians lived convicted the darkness-loving world and their life, and they hated the church. They hated Christians for being light. I want to tell you, there's that hatred in this world. Amen. It's because when you follow Jesus, you're light in a dark place, and men love darkness rather than light. They don't love light. They hate light. And so if you're a Christian that puts out a light on the darkness of the world, Jesus said there'll be a hatred there. But listen to me in this building. Could I tell you that behind the hatred of this world is the hatred of another world? Behind the hatred of humanity to Christians is the hatred of Satan and the hatred of his imps and the hatred of hell. I want to tell you this morning, Satan hates the gospel. Satan hates the church. Satan hates marriage. Satan hates the family. Satan hates Jesus. Satan hates you as a Christian. His hatred is real, fomenting in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know that's instructive, because every time a person sides with this world, every time a person chooses this world, they side with those that hate Jesus. Jesus said they will hate you because they hate me. Look at verse 19. Jesus tells them why they so hate them. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I'm not going to get involved in some teaching on what the world is right now, so I want to simply say the world Jesus is talking about here is not lost humanity needing Christ. He's talking about the system and the people in it who rebel against God, rebel against truth and godliness. Now, here's the thing. Let me talk to you just a minute here about what the world is. We seem to be living in a time when the church doesn't even know what the world is. It's kind of like that old fish. He was swimming upstream, and two young fish were swimming downstream. And as they passed, the old fish said to the young fish, "How's the water upstream?" And two young fish, they went swimming on, and one looked at the other real puzzled and said, "What's water?" You see, they'd spent their whole life in water. They knew no difference of anything but water. And it's a frightening thing when people don't know what worldliness is. It's a strong indication that they're so enmeshed in it. They're such a part of it. They don't recognize it. Amen. They hate us, simply, Jesus says, because we're not one of them. Now, we could stop here and shout glory for this reason. We once were one of them. You were darkness, but now are you light. But the world hates us because we are not one of us. The world hates us because we are alien to them. I want to tell you, the world, what is in vogue, what is popular, ought to find Christians alien to them. Amen. Why is that? Because we have different loves, different values, different lifestyles. We have different interests, different pursuits, different desires. And could I add, we have different destinies. We have different fathers. Hallelujah. We are light and they are darkness. We love Jesus and they hate him. Amen. It's interesting to me that at the same time, our society preaches that we should accept everybody, despite the oddity of the pop culture they're in. Just accept everyone. They hate Christians because we're different. There was a time in American society that the scarlet letter was A, but now in an American society, the scarlet letter is C. Even the world may hate it. Oh, but I want to live up to the name Christian. I want to be what a Christian is to be. It may be shameful to this world. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm going to glory, amen, in the cross. Whatever the world finds shameful, it's the power of God to salvation. The world loves its own. Jesus says, you've been called out of the world, chosen out of the world. You don't belong to the world. Therefore, the world hates you. You're not one of its own. The world hates the difference. If there's no difference, there's nothing for Jesus to hate. I'm only using this political thing for an illustration. I don't get involved in politics in this pulpit. But for decades, conservatives have thought that if they just play nice with the media and try to get along with the opposition, amen, that the media and the opposition would like them, the conservatives. Has it ever happened? Has it ever happened? It'll never happen. You can play as a conservative, you can play nice with the media and the opposition. They'll never like you because they hate what you stand for. I want to tell you, you can play nice with this world. Amen. You can try to get along with this world thinking we can live in harmony. I want to tell you, as long as you name the name of Christ, it's not going to happen. Why? Because they hate the difference. Oh, isn't it sad? They hate the very thing that's so great about coming to Jesus. Because when you come to Jesus, He makes a difference. He changes your life. He changes your heart. He changes everything about you. You hate that. If you do not experience aversion and adversity from this world, you need to consider whether or not you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ, truly saved. Amen. I knew it was to go to a public school. That's, you know, that's a long time ago now. Amen. You'll be passed over. You'll be picked on. You'll be found peculiar, not just at school, but at work. Not just at school and work, but at extended family gatherings. You'll be ostracized. They'll make fun of the difference in hobby and dress and interest. But remember one thing Jesus said. They hate you because I have chosen you out of the world. Could I tell you, it was His doing. His choosing took us out of the world. And I want to tell you this morning, if you let Jesus choose you, if you say yes to Jesus, His choosing brings you out. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, we just need to have church this morning and realize this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen. 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 Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, yea, in all that will live godly, there's the key, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want to give you something to think about. I believe it's true. First, the world hates Christians, and then it blames Christians. First, it hates Christians, and then it blames Christians. Since the first century, Christians have been blamed for every famine, every economic setback, every outbreak of disease, the burning of Rome. Amen. Amen. You may think that I'm just preaching something, just that there's no reality to it. But can I tell you, a conservative estimate is since day one of the church, there has been 70 million Christians killed for their faith. And of the 70 million, two-thirds of those have been killed since the year 1900 to date. And of the two-thirds, a huge portion of them have been killed since 1990 in our world. So don't tell me that this is not a message of import. You say, well, you know, we really don't experience that. And I would like to say that is correct. Thank God here in America, we have largely escaped that type of persecution. But I have found where Satan does not have immediate human persecutors of Christians, then he personally, spiritually attacks them. I think American Christians are particularly attacked by Satan, from nerve problems to the breakup of marriages, breakup of homes. I believe Satan has been madly at work. Paul said in Ephesians, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." How many knows it may not be, it could come to that. It may not be a special armed force of the government that knocks on our door and drags us off to jail and to interrogate us for being Christians. We may not have that yet in America. But when that is not there, Satan, he compensates by making sure he sets in motion the spiritual forces of hell against the people of God. How many can just be honest this morning? You can say, "I know what you're talking about, Pastor. I've seen it personally. I've seen it in family. I've seen it in our church." Satan has launched an attack against the people of God. Amen. I know it's school starting time, and I know that many of us, our kids go to public school, and I know some have started new jobs, and I think many times what parents do, because their kids are apprehensive about a new year and a new teacher and a new class, and we try to be comforting and we say, "Oh, it's going to be okay. They're going to love you. They're going to love you." "Well, I'm a little uneasy about this new job." And the spouse says, "Oh, that's okay. They're going to love you. They're going to love you." I want to tell you the truth of the matter is, amen, this world is not going to love you. It's going to hate you. It's going to hate me. Jesus said it hates you because you're different. It hates you because I've brought you out of the world, and it hates you because it hated me. Amen. What an awful thing. Let's move on this morning. Amen. The hate is not only real. The hate is rejection. Look at verse 20. Jesus says, "Remember the word I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, and very few did, they will keep yours also." Jesus said, "I preached the truth to them. I worked miracles. I healed their sick. I raised their dead. I cast out demons. And yet they rejected me and tried to kill me." I want to say this morning, amen, the rejection and the attack on us as Christians is ultimately the rejection and attack on Jesus. Amen. Amen. The goodness they're attacking isn't in us. We know who we are. Amen. The goodness they're attacking is the goodness of Jesus. Amen. Look in verse 21. "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." They'll do them, number one, for my name's sake. What that means, they're not doing it. They're not hating in the name of Christ, but they're hating you because you bear my name. They're hating you because you worship my name. They're hating you because you proclaim my name and preach my name. I don't know how you feel. That may be the reason that they hate us, but I want to lift up the name of Jesus. I want to worship the name of Jesus. I want to preach the name of Jesus, because he's the only hope of this world. Hallelujah. It's him that they hate, because if there were no Jesus, there'd be no us. Oh, but thank God, since there was a Jesus, there is us, the born again, the people of God. They're rejecting him. This world totally rejects the name of Jesus. Verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not known sin. But now they have no cloak for sin." Jesus just said, they hate you because they have not known, and hate me because they have not known my Father. And that's true of this world. When they come out against Christ and Christians, They simply do not know God, whatever their protestations. I've noticed some of the strongest attacks against Christians is from people who say, I believe in God. And I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe Jesus is the only way. And I don't believe, you know, it's necessary to be born again or whatever. Yeah. But here's what Jesus said. If they hate the message you preach, it's because they don't know God. They can say they do, but they don't know God. And he said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. That does not mean these people would have been guiltless or sinless. It means they would not have been guilty of the greatest sin of all. How many knows what the greatest sin of all is? It's to know who Jesus is and reject him. Amen. You cannot reject what you do not know. But Jesus had come and revealed he was the Son of God. Showed them that he was the Messiah. Amen. He had shined his light and they had rejected him. You know what Jesus said? He preached stirring words. He said of those that rejected him, your sin is greater than Sodom. We focus on Sodom's sin. Don't have time to elaborate, but I want to tell you, Jesus said, those that have known that I am the Son of God and reject me, their sin is greater than the sin of Sodom. Jesus said, if Sodom had have seen the things that you Jews saw, if Sodom had have seen the miracles and heard the words, they would have repented, he intimates. And yet you have known that I am the Son of God. You could not deny my miracles. You saw the demons come out. You saw the lame walk. You saw eyeballs put in hollow sockets. Amen. You saw the deaf hear. You heard my words. And yet, knowing that I have to be the Messiah, you have rejected me. Amen. Amen. Notice here Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He said, I have jerked the cloak off every pretense, every excuse. There's no justification for not believing. Verse 23, Jesus then says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Notice the progression here. Jesus says they hate you because they hate me. And now he says they hate me because they hate the Father. And these are Jews who said they believed in God. And Jesus said, if you really believed in God and loved him, you would have loved me. It's Jesus' teaching that we follow because that teaching came from his Father. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world? Light in the darkness. Amen. The world's at enmity against God. And if we are on God's side, the world's against us. Amen. Amen. Verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which no other man did, they had not had sin. Again, not that they would be sinless, but they would not be guilty of the sin of knowing who he was and rejecting him. But Jesus said, they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. How many knows that Jesus is the greatest, most clear revelation and proof of God ever? Thank God that the heavens declare his name. Amen. Thank God for the voice that he puts in our conscience. But the greatest, most clear revelation of God is Jesus. He said, I came. I showed you God. I showed you truth. I showed you life. I showed you the way. I showed you the bread of life. I showed it to you. And you rejected that. Amen. I'm going to go to verse 26, this last point. It's wonderful how Jesus brings things together. But he says that hate that's real, that hate that is a rejecting of him and his message, that hate should not stop the retelling. I'm talking about the retelling of who Jesus is and what he came to do and how he came to seek and save that which is lost and how Jesus is the only way. Look at verse 26. But when the Comforter is come. Oh, somebody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Jesus' word to his disciples had been,
I'm leaving, but the Holy Spirit is coming to take my place. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm leaving, and hatred is coming, and persecution is coming, but the Comforter is coming too. Amen. I've told you that the world hates you, but you've got to stay long enough to hear. Jesus says, hatred is coming your way, but so is the Comforter. I've been here, Jesus said. I've shielded you from the hate. I've protected you from the hate. I've taken care of those that have hated you. I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless to face the hate and adversity and conflict on your own, because when I leave, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When they hate you, the Spirit's going to be there. When they come against you, the Spirit's going to be there. When they beat your backs, the Spirit's going to be there. When they lock you in jail, the Spirit's going to be there. Oh, thank God for the Comforter. But Jesus said he's not just coming as the Comforter. He's coming as the testifier. What's the import of that? Amen. They hated Jesus because he told the truth. They'll hate you when you tell the truth. But Jesus said the Comforter is not just going to come and assuage you and comfort you so you can settle down and find comfort. No, 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 no. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to comfort you. But he's going to be testifying of me. He's going to keep preaching the same gospel they hate. He's going to preach Jesus is the only way, the only hope, the only healing. He's the only help. He's the only salvation. When the Spirit comes, the very message they hate is going to go on, because the Holy Spirit is going to testify of me. Oh, hallelujah. How many felt the Spirit testify of Jesus in the service this morning? Glory to God. But just like the Spirit comes as our Comforter, the Holy Spirit comes so that we too will keep retelling the story of Jesus, the message they hate, the gospel they hate. Look in verse 27. Amen. And Jesus says, ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Rightfully, this first of all included the first disciples who walked with him and talked with him. We did not have that prerogative. I left my Bible in the bag. We didn't have that prerogative of witnessing firsthand the miracles that Jesus did. We didn't walk with him down the Galilee road. We didn't see him hanging on the cross or visit the empty tomb. But we have the record and the testimony of those that did. And Jesus said, they'll hate you and they'll persecute you, but the Holy Spirit's going to come and comfort you, and the Holy Spirit comforts you to enable you to keep on sharing the witness and the testimony and the message. What are we going to do, Pastor, when the hate towards Christian grows stronger and stronger? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to lift his name higher than we've ever lived. Even when they hate us for doing outreach, we'll increase the outreach. When they hate the messages in the archive, amen, we'll preach Jesus again, and we'll preach him again, and we'll preach him again. Why? Because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only hope, the only help. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? Amen. The persecution, the hatred, the opposition must never stop God's people from sharing about Jesus. You go to school, amen, it's a foreign environment. Amen. You go to work and they hate the truth. It's not time to isolate ourselves. It's not time to stand down. It's certainly not time to capitulate. It's certainly not time to conform to this world to escape its hatred. It's time to preach Jesus. How many knows we have no other reason for existing? Oh, hallelujah. You say you're just talking about the pulpit. No, I'm talking about we do like the New Testament Christians. We leave this place of worship today and we go to our neighborhoods, our places of work, our schools. Amen. And we uplift the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many believes his name is a saving name, healing name, delivering name? Oh, what a message. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation.
I love to try to encourage new converts. But something I increasingly hear from folks that pray in our altar, recently saved, is something like this. Pastor, I don't understand. Ever since I came to know Christ, ever since, things have gotten worse in my life. I've had more problems at work. I've had more problems at home. I have faced more car breakdowns. I have faced more fear ever since I became a Christian. How many could lift a hand and say that was kind of my experience too? You want to know why? Because when you got saved, you moved into the company of the hated. You may think this is too strong a language, but I believe Jesus said it. Satan hates you this morning. He hates it that you're saved. He hates it that you've been rescued from the world. He hates that you're going to heaven. He hates that you will not spend eternity in hell with him. If he hates it so bad, it must be something truly wonderful. Stick with it. Keep serving God. I'm going to give an odd invitation this morning. I'd like to invite you to stand all over this building. I'm going to give you an odd invitation, but it's a wonderful invitation. If you're not completely sold out to Christ, if you do not yet know Christ, if you are not yet born again, I want to give this invitation this morning. Come and be hated by this world, but loved of God. Come and be ridiculed by this world, but approved of God, favored of God. Come and be called an idiot by Satan in the world, but come and be called a child of God. Come and be called the redeemed. Come and be attacked by Satan, but come and be comforted by the Holy Spirit. Come, yes, and be hated by this world, but come and be headed to heaven. Come and have a battle on your hands with this world, but come and have the peace of God. I quit with one question. What is the hatred of this world compared to the love of God? Oh, hallelujah. How many's experienced the love of God? Sisters, to some of you come, begin to pray. Amen. Amen. How many's experienced the love of God? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. How many chooses the love of God over the hatred of this world? Hallelujah. They may hate us, but God loves us. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, they may make fun of us, but oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Glory to God. Go to school, get your head up high. They may whisper behind you. I remember walking into public school when long hair was in and hearing them say behind my back, there comes the 50s kid. Here, there comes that Christian. Amen. They hated that. But thank God for his love. Anybody else like to come and flood these altars this morning and say, I choose the love of God. I choose his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would like to just gather and say, I'm going to reaffirm my faith in God. Amen. I may be under attack. My home may be under attack. Amen. My marriage may be under attack. But I'm going to reaffirm the gospel of Christ. I'm going to uphold his name. Amen. Would you come and flood these altars and say, thank God. Thank God I'm loved.
You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
You can't stop me.
You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
Yes,
all the way.
You can't stop me.
You can't stop me.
You can't turn me.
You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus
all the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus
all the way.
All the way.
You can't stop me.
You can't stop me.
You can't turn me.
You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus
all the way.
Oh, your love this morning, love by God.
Sometimes I have to fast and pray. Sometimes I have to steal away.
Thank you for your
Sometimes
love.
Sometimes I have to cry out, help me, Lord.
Oh, yes.
But I know if I hold my peace, the Lord will take care of me. I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
Yes, all the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
Yes, all the way.
All the way. You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
I'm going
oh,
yes. with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
Yes, all the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going all the way.
All the way.
You can't stop me.
You can't stop me.
You can't turn me.
You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
Oh, sometimes I have to fast and pray. Sometimes I have to steal away. Sometimes I have to cry out, help me, Lord.
Oh, yes.
But I know if I hold my peace, the Lord will take care of me. I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
Oh, all the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
Yes, all the way.
All the way.
Oh, you can't stop me.
You can't stop me.
You can't turn me.
You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
Yes, I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
You can't stop me.
You can't stop me.
You can't turn me.
You can't turn me.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going with Jesus.
All the way.
All the way.
I'm going with Jesus.
I'm going.